Welcome back to the Clear Voice podcast. This week, I spoke to Fatima, the bakeress. Fatima has built a hugely successful bakery business. And like any good baker, she bought us some samples. They were amazing. And I'm sorry it's a podcast, so we can't all share them. But I'm not really that sorry because they were too good to share. We discussed how she found it difficult to speak out in the face of authority when her father was having awful health issues, how her passion for baking helped her get through the toughest times in her life, and how she turned that passion into a roaringly successful business. So let's hear it. This week, I'm joined by Fatima, who is the bakeress. Fatima, welcome. And tell me a little bit about what you do and who you are and what your story is.
Okay, firstly, Florence, thank you for inviting me because I've been listening to your podcast for a few weeks now. And you've had some inspirational women on here and very successful. So to be invited to a podcast of such a high level, I can just say I hope I do enough justice.
Oh, I'm sure you will. That's why you're
here. Thank you. Thank you very much.
So, yeah, tell me a little bit about yourself and your story and your business.
Okay. So my name is Fatima and I'm from Forest Gate, which is in East London. So I run a little bakery called The Bakeress. And somehow my name's become The Bakeress as well. Everyone calls me The Bakeress now as well. We have a lot of local clientele. And people from far come to us as well. We've got a huge range that we bake from morning till night. Never actually get any sleep. And when I do, I'm literally on a sugar high, so I don't get sleep anyway. Did I always want to become a baker? I think I wanted to become loads of things. First, I wanted to become a teacher. That's because teachers get a lot of Christmas presents. Bakers don't get any presents, trust me.
Well, you bought me presents today, so maybe you should have been a podcast host.
I'm like the pink Santa, like comes in pink, brings a pink carry bag with stuff. And then at one point I became a special constable. I've been a receptionist. So I've done so many different jobs, but wherever I went, funny enough, I just kept taking baked goods for everyone because at home I just loved baking. Because I watched my mum sort of flounce around the kitchen doing her thing that women do. And I just found it so magical that you can get a few ingredients and put them together and you end up with a big feast.
That's the dream, right?
Yeah, it's incredible. And if you can do that and make money out of it,
the absolute dream.
Better, honestly. So what happened was I actually studied biomedical sciences, complementary medicine. And then after that, I went on to doing my master's in food and nutrition. So then after that, I thought, you know what? My passion is just in baking. I just love baking so much. So I went in to become a pastry chef here in London, South Bank University. And once I did that, I got a job in Hummingbird Bakery. So I was a chef there for a couple of years. And whilst doing that, I was working for myself as well. And I realized working for yourself, you build up a clientele, people appreciate your work. And I just, at Hummingbird, I just felt like, what's the best way to put it? I felt like a caterpillar that had wings chopped off. I wasn't able to flourish. I wasn't able to become a butterfly from a caterpillar. Because as an artist, you know yourself that there's so much you want to give and so much creativity you want to show people. But working for someone else and you just can't because you're limited to what you're allowed to do. And I just hate rules in life and I hate being limited. So eventually after 2 years, I had to make the decision that I might not make as much money, but I'm going to go for it and I'm going to do it for myself and I'm going to make my style in cakes. So, yeah, I went
and
into
it's gone
doing
well.
It.
Yeah.
Well, touch wood, it's okay right now.
And we'll definitely come more into the baking later.
Okay.
But I want to pick up on, you were a special constable.
Yes.
How did you, because also, so for listeners at home, you're also quite petite.
I am petite,
And a woman.
And
oh,
a
outrageous.
Lady. Yeah, and a woman.
So yeah, how was that? What was your, yeah.
It was good. It was hard doing nights and stuff, especially coming from an Asian family. It's not easy. But I made some very good friends there and they look after you. They do look after you. Sometimes you feel a bit intimidated with big men and stuff. But otherwise, it's an interesting life. You don't have any same day. Every day is going to be different.
Is there any particularly memorable day?
We chased a guy for drugs. I got hold of his phone, and all he had on his phone was naked pictures of himself that I had to see. Yeah, I had to see this, and it was the most awkward day ever. So yeah, soon after I left the job, not because of him, but generally because my passion was elsewhere. Also, I love working with the witness support unit because there's so many women that go through stuff, abusive relationships, they've seen murders, they've been through rape. And to be there for that woman at that time, I personally think only a woman can understand another woman fully, and to hold people's hand and be there for them at that moment is rewarding, and they need that support.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And so back to voices.
Okay.
What is your general relationship been with your voice?
I have a complete love-hate relationship with my voice, Florence.
Amazing.
Seriously love-hate
Interesting.
relationship. I was telling you the other day I had a bad cold and a viral infection, so I lost my voice. And then soon after this week, I got my voice back. But everyone I was speaking to, I kept apologizing, saying, "I'm so sorry, my voice is really bad. I had a cold, I'm so sorry." And then I then had to kind of accept and realize that no, my voice isn't bad anymore. This is actually my voice. It's always been my voice. So get over it, Fatima, and stop apologizing for something you're not happy with. I feel tone-wise, I feel I have a squeaky voice. And
Really?
yeah, and my mum's always telling me, "Stop whining, Fatima, stop whining." And so many people say that. I'm like, "I'm not whining. This is my voice. I'm sorry,
This
and
is
I'm
it.
sorry, but this is it." There's been times where I speak too much when I'm not supposed to, and I've spoken too little when I'm told to speak. So I'm not very happy about that because I always get myself into trouble.
In a kind of good way, or a
No.
bad actual trouble way.
In a trouble way,
Oh.
since I was a child, this has been
Okay.
my problem. There was a time I remember in school, and I was bullied a lot in school because I was a fat girl and I had two oily little pigtails.
Oh,
And
God.
seriously, I was something to look at, actually. I must have been about 9 years old. The whole class was ganging up at me, and this boy called Matthew started swearing at me. So it became a slanging match. So every time he'd say something to me, the whole class would cheer him on. So I'd be like, "Oh my God, I need to think of something to say." So the whole class cheers me on. So he'd swear at me. And that was the first time ever I started swearing. So I swore back at him. He swore back at me. The whole class started booing at me.
That's so difficult, isn't it? In that really pressurized situation
Yeah.
that you have to say something, and
You have
the
to say
words you choose
something.
are just not the ones that you really wanted to
No.
say.
So the whole class started booing at me, and that was that. I remember that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's not a great start.
But this is what I mean. I just panic and overtalk. But there you go.
But yeah,
Yeah.
you have to. Yeah, I think we all have that, don't we? And it's just, looking back, what would you have done differently?
Miss,
Yeah.
Matthew swearing at my
You always got to protect your mum, right?
Mum's a mum,
Yeah.
right? Yeah.
Amazing. So, and then moving, so we're going to go, I think we've touched on the negative already, we're going to go further in. Are there any times where you felt that you really haven't had a voice?
Actually, my dad, there's a few instances. My dad got diagnosed with motor neuron disease about 4 years ago now. So when we first found out, well, we didn't find out, he just had tingling in his hands and he couldn't lift his arm up. So we went from doctor to doctor to doctor. I can't tell you how many doctors we actually saw in this country. And every doctor would just say the same thing: "Oh, change your cholesterol tablets and sort your diet out," or "it's a frozen shoulder." And I was getting frustrated, flustered, and most of the doctors were male. And I just felt like this little girl, and I'm having to become my dad's voice. Because my dad, his second language is English, so he's got an accent. He doesn't fully understand everything fluently as well as I would do. So I felt like I was talking to my dad, and I'm begging these doctors that do something, send me for tests, send my dad for tests, do this. See, I'm saying send me for tests because I almost forgot that it's my dad I was talking about. And nothing was being done. So eventually, about 6 months later, I took him to India and I chased up a top neurologist there. And he did all these tests and diagnosed him with motor neuron disease. So we had no idea what motor neuron disease is. I had just nothing. I'd never heard of it, never knew anyone with it. And eventually, the first thing you do when someone's diagnosed is you check Google, what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah. So I was like, what? It says, you know, you've got 2 years to live, if that. I just couldn't believe what's going on. And then I was like, well, there has to be some sort of medication. The doctor's like, no, there's no medication. So then we brought him back to London, went to his GP, and I said, nothing's been done about, you know, how he's feeling, his arm. So the GP's still not saying anything. I said, I've taken him to India, and they've actually diagnosed him with motor neuron disease. And he just looked at me in shock, the doctor. And I thought, you're the one that's supposed to be telling me. I'm not the one that's supposed to be diagnosing my dad. So yeah, that was a time where I felt like I just didn't have a voice.
I think it's so hard. I can completely empathize with you. Yeah. I had a very similar experience. And I don't know what it is. I think often consultants, when you get to that level and you're seeing consultants, they're quite often male.
Yeah.
And I think there's something, for me personally, subconsciously, when there's a man in a position of power, I would always believe him. You're there to be told something, as you say. You're there to be told something. So you feel like if they say, no, it's fine, then you don't have the power to question it.
Exactly.
And it actually, you know, it can have really awful effects.
Of course,
I think that's part of the reason why, for example, black women are 5 times more likely to die in childbirth than white women. Because I think there's also a systemic racist part of it as well.
100%, yeah.
Yeah. So learning from that, what did you learn from that experience?
Gosh, I learned that I've got to grow up just like that, at the click of my finger. Because my dad was my rock. He did everything for me. So now it was the other way around. I was now managing a business and I was managing my dad. And I was managing my emotions and mum's emotions, which was pretty hard because, touch wood, my dad's still able to speak, but he's now fully paralysed, so he's in a wheelchair. And we have to deal with the carer system, which is very hard because sometimes they send carers, sometimes they don't. So it's been a tough 4 years, but I'm just grateful that they gave him 2 years to live and he's still with me after 4 years and he's able to give me advice. And I'm thankful that he's still here with me.
And if you could go back and go to those doctor's appointments again, do you think it would be different now knowing what you know about yourself and the establishment?
Knowing what I know now, yes. Would I panic any less? Probably not. Because your nature is your nature, Florence, as you probably know. There's only so much you can change about your nature. And I get flustered very quickly and I get, short of breath very quickly when I'm in a panicky situation and emotional, because every appointment I've gone to or every time I've begged a doctor to diagnose him, I'd probably be in tears in the consultation room. Yeah.
And obviously they then are just like, oh, hysterical woman.
Yes. Oh my God, the amount of times doctors have looked at me like, yeah, well, there's one doctor and I started crying and he said, yeah, I'm just going to let you know that positive thinking in this disease won't really help you. I was like, geez, you've just broken every hope I had.
What an odd thing to say to someone who's obviously not thinking positively. Like, yeah, just carry on, love. You keep crying. Being happy is not going to help you. It's insane.
So, yeah.
And then, when is the time that you really felt like you have had a voice?
I think when I resigned from my job becoming a pastry chef, when I resigned and decided to work for myself, I felt like I had a voice. I felt like I'm allowed to be creative as I want. I can spread my wings. And as I carried on working, I wasn't confident in my work, but the amount of clients that started coming, I felt, oh my God, these people like my designs. These people like the taste of my cakes. That's why they keep coming back to me. Even till this day, it's been about 13, 14 years since I've been baking. And
Wow, that's a long time.
Thank you. Yeah, it is. I feel like it runs in my blood now. You know, I know nothing else. I felt happy, like this is where I'm supposed to be. And wherever, whatever problems hit me in life, with my dad, with bullying, with people I love passing away, or people walking away from me, the two things I'd say that have helped me carry on, one is my faith. I think even if you don't believe in religion, any sort of faith you have in the universe, in life, in God, it's so important to have something to cling on to and something to, you know, sit down and just pray on. And I don't just mean religious pray. I mean any sort of just relax and spiritual pray. And secondly is my business. I've fallen back on my business numerous times. I've been heartbroken. I've been abused. I've been any sort of hurt that's happened to me in my life. I've always turned to my business. Because Florence, I feel that if you work in a job that you're passionate about, anything can hit you in life. Anything. And I feel it won't break you because you've got this backup. You've got this therapy to turn back on. And I think if you're passionate about something, that's the only way you can do that job and you do it well. If you're going to start a business, don't do it to gain loads of money, because at first you won't gain money. At first you're just trying to prove to people that this is my passion, I'm good at it, please believe in my product as much as I do. And the way you talk about your product so passionately, people should be able to sense that passion, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's a really good point as well. The way that you talk about your product and the voice that you use with that,
yeah,
can either completely sell it or not sell it. For example, exactly. I see so much people, I think, of the millennial generation that I count myself as part of, yeah. And I call it millennial listing, is when people are like, yeah, you know, they list amazing things. So like, yeah, I run my own business and yeah, we turned over a million pound profit last year and it's really nice. And we're expanding to San Francisco and I've now got 100 people working for me and we're going to have another 1,000 in the new office. And they say really exciting things with a really low-key voice.
Right.
And it's so boring. And it makes exciting things sound boring.
I agree.
And then you will, like, at no point do I ever feel inspired or do I understand their passion.
I agree.
But when you speak about baking, or, for example, Twice the Health, who were last week, when they speak about running and they're so passionate about it, I'm like, oh, I want to go running and then eat a cake. And it's so true. If you speak with that passion, then people will believe in you and believe in your product and your message.
I agree. It's like when I heard your podcast with Daisy, she was so funny and I was hooked to listening to her voice that I had to order her book straight away.
Amazing.
Honestly, I haven't read it yet. Yeah, Daisy, I honestly enjoyed your podcast if you're listening to this, but I had to order your book. This is it. Because she spoke so well, and I don't mean eloquent, because she was eloquent anyway, but even if she wasn't eloquent, I heard the passion in her voice and I heard the sincerity in your voice. And I always feel if you're sincere in your business and you have integrity, that's everything. That's half your business done. Yeah,
completely.
That's
completely,
half your business done. I get so many people asking me, Fatima, you must hate cakes and you must hate eating cakes because you see it all the time and you're working with it all the time. And I'm like, no, if you saw how many warm brownies I eat every day and whoopie pie.
I can't believe that.
Honestly, Florence. And pumpkin whoopie pies I've had this past week, being ill as well. If people realise how much I eat, they'd probably emphasise the fat in Fatima. I'm telling you that. I'm not even joking. I'm serious.
And so how are you using your voice for change now?
Well, Florence, I'd like you to come to my home one day we try and make it a very cozy environment. And it's a bit like an old-fashioned bakery where you know your clientele and they come then. A lot of them just come for chats and they'll pick up the smallest thing, but really they just wanted to have a bit of a chat. And it's really nice because we've got to know so many incredible women, honestly. A few months ago, we had a woman that was, I'm presuming, 9 months pregnant almost. And she was all flustered and red and hot. And I said, "Are you okay?" She's like, "Yeah, I've just come to pick a cake up. My husband's been in coma for 2.5 months and he's just woken up last night. So we're traveling and taking him to Manchester, which is where his family's from." I didn't know what to say, Florence, because I was like, "Wow." And I said, "And you're picking a cake up?" He's like, she's like, "Yeah, because he loves your cake. So I want him to have it now that he's woken up." And I was touched, Florence. I feel I'm making a difference to someone that's been in coma for 2.5 months. That's 2.5 months of your life.
That is amazing that when they woke up, they needed to have your cake there.
Well, I don't know what happened after that. I'm hoping he had some, you know?
Yeah.
So, but it's, we have so many women that are going through problems in their lives, going through marital problems, going through abusive relationships, going through bereavement of some sort. And they've all come there just to make themselves feel a little better. We've had people whose mums have had cancer. They're picking stuff up just to cheer her up. So it's just, I meet so many inspirational women and honestly, they make my day. Every day, I've never met the same person. I've just met incredible people and I just wish I was half the women and, you know, they are.
Amazing. And incredible to be able to create a community in a time where we have so much access through social media, we have so much access to other people, but it's sort of the loneliest time, I think, because we're in these like virtual communities and we interact with strangers all the time. But we don't really interact with them in our lives, especially, you know, we both live in London.
Yeah.
You talk to a stranger and it's like, yeah, who are you? Why are you weird? Like, why are you talking to me?
No, exactly.
And yeah, and to be able to have those relationships with people, and quite often you can speak to a stranger in a way you actually wouldn't speak to someone you know.
You know, exactly. Because we won't judge. Mm. Do you understand? We,
especially not the bakeress.
I'm not going to judge, darling. I'm going to talk about you, especially not on some podcast. No, I respect these women because as women, we're all going through our own battle. And it's a fact. We're all going through something. Whether it's minute, to each person, that minute problem is huge because it's your problem. And that could be a big problem in the eyes of the world or a tiny problem, but it's big. And we deserve cake. Do you understand?
Yeah.
We do a lot for people in life and we do it without complaining. And from day one, you know, whether we're bullied, whether we're abused, we go through period pains, we go through labor pains. Then we've got a child to bring up all our life. Some of us have good husbands, some of us don't have great husbands. So we do a hell of a lot. So I think we need a bit of praise.
Well, at the very least, some cake.
At the very least, a nice, warm brownie. So, yeah, I hope I make a difference to these women. And I hope they come to me because they genuinely enjoy it. And I think, Florence, the more you've been through in life, the more problems you've had in life, you can be there for others because you understand them and you understand what they've gone through. And you can truly say, "I know what you're going through." I may not talk about it all the time, but I know the difficult time, and this time too shall pass.
Yeah.
And a better time will definitely come. You just need to believe it.
Amazing. Yeah. Totally. And finally, who are the women that inspire you?
Florence, I know you're going to say, "Oh my God, don't say your mum," but genuinely my mum is an inspirational woman. Her name's Shanaz, so I'll say her name's Shanaz and not my mum, guys, because otherwise every single person says their mum. She takes care of my favourite person in the world, which is my dad, and she does it without complaining, and she does it with unconditional love. You know, we lift him together and we'll take him to the bathroom together and we'll put him to bed together, because and we don't complain about it because they do the same for us. So, and my mum has been my rock with my business and every emotional part of my life that I've had, she's been my rock. She works for me as well. She
team.
Yeah, honestly, all the glittered messages and stuff, she's good at doing. Ah. She's very creative, yeah. And she, bless her, she's been through a lot in her life. She's been through a lot of bullying in her life when she was younger. But right now, I think she's in her element because she enjoys working and she's creative as well. So she's being a free spirit with me, yeah.
And then another woman who we can all look up be inspired by, because as we discussed earlier, like, we don't want people going to your house and finding your mum.
Mind you, most of my customers come to my house and said, where's your mum? And I'm really? Like, gee, thanks. Like, just ignore the face of the bakeress. So she's the real star, really. I think I should bring her next time.
Are. Yes.
Yeah. You know what? I think J.K. Rowling is an excellent person. I mean, anyone that can write a book on witches and wizards and get the whole world mesmerized gets my vote, right? And she's been through a lot in her life, you know. She went through an abusive relationship. She was a single mother for a while. She got turned down so many times for Harry Potter. You know, so many publishers thought, no, you know, it's a ridiculous story. And she turned out, I mean, she turned down her status of one of the richest women because she gave so much charity. So I think she's an inspirational woman, an excellent, and I'm a huge Harry Potter fan, so why not?
Absolutely. No, she is amazing. She really
She is amazing. Yeah. And another one is you. Look what you're doing. Honestly, you're a beautiful lady and you bring women from all walks of life and even just normal public women like me, nothing special, but
you are special.
Thank you, in your eyes only. But you make them feel special, which is a very, very rare gift, and you have it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, well, you can welcome. Definitely come again and bring your mum.
Anytime. You want more cakes, don't lie.
Always. Amazing. Fatima, thank you so much. It's been a joy to speak with you today.
Thank you so much, Florence. Thank you for having me. Honestly, it's an honour. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Clear Voice podcast. We will be back next week with Hayat Rachi from Neon Moon, who makes badass underwear for badass women. That's right, for you and me. Sorry, boys. We discuss her journey from being fired for not wearing heels to her underwear brand going viral. See you then.
Letters to my younger self and to every little girl out there. Stay strong, my beautiful baby girl, for you're about to experience the craziest action-packed life you can only imagine in your wildest dreams. You'll flourish to the highest level if only you keep strong, my girl. Don't let the boys throw stones at you, and don't let the girls bite you. If they do, be strong, my baby girl. You're strong enough to wipe the wounds and start again. You'll meet some extraordinary and unimaginable people. Not all will be kind, but carry on sending them love, as these are the ones that need it the most. However, the people that are kind and generous with their love, don't let them go, as these are the precious gems. Stay strong, my baby girl, as you'll achieve great things. You'll make people smile, and you need to realize you're worthwhile. You'll lose people you love, but remember, my girl, they were there to teach you so much about yourself. You'll go through heartaches, but remember, this is also to teach you that you are capable of loving so deeply. Stay strong, my girl, as success will bring loneliness. But you are magical and you alone are enough. Smile, my baby girl. You'll bake extraordinary things. You'll add joy to celebrations. You'll mend hearts and give hope. But along the way, don't forget to eat a cake or two, because let's face it, my girl, what's life without indulgence and the love of food?